So welcome to our, I guess our first actual seminar talk of the series of the season. As always, I want to encourage people to be engaged and lively. This is supposed to be a kind of intimate seminar, so please feel free to like interrupt or unmute yourself or whatever it is you want to do for questions. And I guess without further ado, our speaker is Fei Yan from Rutgers University, and she'll be telling us about protected spin characters, Link invariants, and Q non-abelianization.
Okay, thank you, Theo. I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation to speak here. It's absolutely my pleasure to speak here virtually. And I hope everyone is doing well in these difficult times, and I hope we could see each other in person maybe in the near future. So today I'm going to talk about protected spin characters, Link invariants, and Q non-abelianization. Sorry, it got stuck. Sorry. I think I stopped sharing and then share again. Now it works, I'm sorry. So as an outlook, I will describe the construction of a new link invariant, invariant with quotation mark, because as we will see later, this quantity will have certain walkers and behaviors for links L in a three-manifold M. For most of my talk, I will focus on the three-manifold M being the surface cross a real line. So physically speaking, this construction computes protected spin characters counting BPS ground states with spin for land defects in 4D equal to series of class S. And in particular, when M is equal to R3, this construction computes well-known link invariants in a new way. This part of the talk will be based on my work with my collaborator, Andy Metzke, who is a professor at Yale. And we already have a paper out on archive to appear in JHAP called Q non-abelianization for land defects, and we'll have two more upcoming. Near the end of my talk, I will also describe further possible connections of this construction to exact WKB analysis in 4D equal two theories. All right, so the main objects that we study are land defects in 4D equal two theories. So let me give a really short review of such objects. We consider a 4D equals two supersymmetric field theory with the insertion of a supersymmetric land effect extending along time direction while sitting at the origin of spatial R3. In supersymmetric gauge theories, you could have supersymmetric Wilson-Duff lines as perfect example of such land effects. However, you could also consider generalizations of such things to non-Lagrangian theories. And this type of object has been studied by many, many people, and I apologize that I could not give a complete list of reference here. And one good way to study these land effects is to go to a point in the Coulomb branch where the bug has infrared effective description in terms of abelian gauge theory. Now one could ask the question, what does a supersymmetric land effect in your UV look like in the infrared? The answer is that it's going to look like a superposition of supersymmetric land effects in the abelian theory with coefficients in the superposition given by the so-called frame protected spin characters. And the frame protected spin characters is defined as a supersymmetric index counting the supersymmetric ground states of the bug defect system with infrared electromagnetic and flavor charge gamma. So here you can see, sorry.
Can I interrupt with a question? Sorry to ask the question only 5 minutes in. What do you mean by superposition of line defects? Line defects form a category and this is some direct sum, or what is it?
I'm not talking about this as, you could think of this as a direct sum. In particular, you could think of the Hilbert space with the insertion of land defects as direct sum of Hilbert spaces of this infrared land effects defect Hilbert spaces with some coefficients as certain vector spaces. Okay. And this frame protected spin character could sort out a certain index counting inside this coefficient vector space. So I'm sorry that I think outside my apartment there's some noise. Is that a problem for like your hearing or anything?
I don't hear it.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Okay, so the frame protected spin character as here, it's defined in terms of trace formula, where the trace is given inside this Hilbert space with a land effect insertion in this charged infrared electromagnetic charge gamma. And moreover, this counting also take care of the quantum numbers of those states under this SU2 rotation symmetry and SU2 R symmetry. So, as we said earlier, this frame protected spin character essentially gives you an UV-IR map for land effects. Roughly speaking, if you have UV land effects out here, it's mapped to certain sum of the infrared land effects, which denoted here as X gamma, with coefficient given by this frame protected spin character. And this infrared land effects could be easy to describe because you have abelian effective theories. So those are infrared Wilson drift lines with charge gamma, which you could think of as word line of the infinite massive dia with charge gamma. So are there any questions so far about the setup for this UV-IR map?
The thing that you get in the IR is always like a finite sum over charges?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I should say it depends on the it depends on the chamber you are at. But for the examples I talk about today, it's always going to be a finite sum.
Okay. But are there are like some like weird situations where you could wind up like you've got some funky UV line defect that gives you some like weird infinite superposition of charges in the IR?
By weird, you mean?
I mean weird by the fact by like the weird thing would be its IR behavior.
Okay, so I'm not going to talk about those weird things. I will always focus in this talk on the nice thing where you have a finite sum in terms of this infrared band. Okay, so as a simple example, we could consider n equals to pure SU2 super young males at a point in the weak coupling region of its Coulomb branch. And we denote the infrared charge lattice, which is a basis and denote as the electric and magnetic charges. And Wilson line in the series are labeled in representations of SU2. So for example, for fundamental representation Wilson line, if you consider its decomposition at this weak coupling region or Coulomb branch, you will get 3 infrared land effects. And in particular, the first two is not too surprising from a semi-classical consideration. Namely, SU2 symmetry is broken to U1 at the recoupling region of the Coulomb branch, and you would naively expect that you will get infrared purely electrically charged land effects, where the electric charges correspond to the weights of the fundamental representation. However, you do see an additional land effects, which is purely magnetic charge. This, in a sense, could be viewed as certain bound states between Bach BPS particle with the land effects, but I will not focus on that perspective in this talk. But let me just mention that the difficulties of getting this frame protected spin characters of the UV-IR map is to figure out these actual contributions from those dynamic lines. And similarly, you could consider Wilson line as the adjunct representation. And then again, the first three terms correspond to the weight decomposition of the adjunct representation. However, you also get actual contributions from those dynamic lines. And in particular, certain coefficients will have non-trivial Q dependence. So for example, in this charge sector denoted as -1, 1, you will see the ground states form a non-trivial fundamental representation of the SU2 rotation section. I will show you more examples of this frame-protected spin character, this UV error map, later on after I talk more about the construction. So, how could we compute such a quantity? There have been lots of work on computation of these protected spin characters. For Lagrangian series, you could use supersymmetric localization, semi-classical computation. For series of quiver tap, you could use quiver quantum mechanics. For class S series, you could use spectral networks, and the list goes on. So there are lots of people have been working on this problem from different point of views. And today, I will describe a geometric way to compute the frame protected spin characters for land effects in class S series. So let me now focus on land effects in class S series. So the class S series we consider here comes from the 6D2.0 series of type GLN on Riemann surface across the 4D spacetime with certain twisting to preserve supersymmetry. After you compactify on the Riemann surface, you will get 4D equals 2 series of class S. And in particular, if you consider supersymmetric surface defect in 6D, wrapping a loop in the Riemann surface times time direction, in 4D, it's going to give you a half BPS supersymmetric land effect. And as a little remark, the 6D supersymmetric surface defects are going to be labeled by representations of GLN. But here today, I will only use 6D surface defects in the fundamental representation of GLN. And a point in the Coulomb branch in the context of class S series correspond to an unfold branch covering C tilde over C, where C tilde is a Zebra-Witten curve. And in the infrared, the back theory is approximated by 62.00 serial type GL1 on the Riemann surface across the 4D spacetime. And the infrared land effects are similar to how the UV land effects come from 6D. They could come from 6D surface defect wrapping certain loop L tilde inside the Zebra-Witten curve in terms of time direction. So based on what we've said so far, and then you could sort of think that the UV error map somehow should take a loop out in the Riemann surface to a loop out tilde in the Zebra-Witten curve, which is a branch covering of the Riemann surface. And this is indeed what happens when Q is goes to one. And also this is a geometric construction by Galton Marinetsky using the tools of spectral networks. And we could ask a question about whether there is a geometric construction which is similar to the Q goes to one limit, but it takes care of the case for generic Q. So as a little hint for this construction, what we're going to consider is instead of considering loops in the Riemann surface, we're going to uplift the setup to one-dimensional higher to consider lengths in a three-manifold in the form of Riemann surface across the real line. So to motivate that a little bit, let's think about what happens or what changed when Q is generic. The setup to compute the frame protected spin character is effectively turning on half omega background around a spatial R2 plane. And because of that, the supersymmetric land effects have to sit along fixed axis in R3. And moreover, we'll consider the operator product of those land effects as they have to sit along fixed axis in R3, this product becomes non-commutative. And in the UV, this OPE could be very complicated. However, in the infrared, the OPE is simpler. It's given by the so-called quantum towers, which is written here. On the left-hand side, you see the OPE of two infrared land effects with charge gamma 1, gamma 2. On the right-hand side, you see a single infrared land effect with charge gamma 1 plus gamma 2, which makes sense because the charge has to be additive. However, you also see this actual contribution, which is minus Q to the power of the pairing between gamma 1 and gamma 2, whereas pairing is a direct Schrödinger-Swanson pairing. And this pairing sort of takes care of the contribution from the pointing vector of the electric magnetic field sourced by the two dions with charge gamma 1 and gamma 2 on the left-hand side. So from what we've said so far, we see that after you have a turn on the generic Q, the space of land effects is equipped with certain possibly complicated OPE. And to describe a map between the UV and infrared land effects, you need to consider the map such that it respects the OPE in the UV and IR. And for class S series, the land effects OPE has also been considered before, mostly in the context of AGT. And in particular, they're described by skin algebras. So this gives us a hint that the UVIR map that we want to construct is a map between the UV and IR skin algebras, which I will define momentarily. Okay, so maybe I should pause for other questions so far. Okay.
So I do have a question. I'm still trying to keep track of where everybody lives. So I would have thought that there was a category of lines, but you're telling me I should just think somehow in, like, I'm supposed to just sort of, for now, decategorify that and think about lines as the elements of an algebra.
Yes, yes.
And I guess your punchline is going to be that this algebra is somehow related to skin algebra.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not talking about the categorified version of this map.
Okay, and but the coefficients are just, like you said, they're just sort of Q to powers. They're just some numbers, basically, some integers.
There's some Laurent polynomials in Q, okay. The coefficients, yeah. Okay, so based on what I've said so far and all the other people's work, this inspires us to consider the following setup. Namely, you consider an oriented link. So before we were splitting the 6D as the Riemann surface for the 4D spacetime, and now we're going to pick a special real line and combine that with the Riemann surface to form a three manifold M, which is C times the real line. Now we'll denote this real line as the RH direction. And we consider an oriented link inside this three manifold. And we put a supersymmetric surface defect from a 6D theory. Now it's going to wrap around a link inside M and also the time direction. And this setup also has been considered by many people before, but we're going to ask the question, what does this kind of setup look like in the 4D limit? In the infrared, note that the link also has some finite extent along this RH direction. But in the infrared, the finite extent of this link in the RH direction is suppressed, and it looks like a land effect in the 4D class S series. However, it's only a quarter BPS in general, and only preserves the U1 rotation along this spatial R2 plane and the U1 R symmetry. However, although the preserved symmetries are smaller, we could still define the protected spin character just as before to count its BPS ground states. So in general, this is sort of a new kind of land effect in class S series. And we will see later on that by considering this setup, we will also be able to make connections with link invariants. As a special case, if L is isotopic to a simple closed curve on Riemann surface at a fixed RH coordinate, then the land effects becomes half BPS and the full rotation symmetry is restored. And in this case, we go back to the traditional half BPS land effects in class S series that I was talking about. Okay, so in the UV, we have a space of land effects equipped with this OPE, which is described by the so-called GLN Homfli skin algebra of M. It's defined as a space of formal linear combinations of framed oriented links in M up to isotopy with coefficients in Laurent polynomials in Q, and modulo the following skin relations. So in writing down the skin relations here, I have chosen to use a black bar framing, namely the framing vector points, squaring framing, where the framing vector points are orthogonal to out of the square. And to understand these skin relations, it's sort of a local relation, the local operation you could do on your links, namely you cut a little three bar around some local, for example, here you have a crossing of the link, and you keep everything outside the three bar unchanged and only vary the content inside the three bar. The first relation says that this configuration where the crossing is over minus the configuration where the crossing is under is equal to the configuration where the crossing is resolved times the factor of Q minus Q inverse. And the second relation is the change of framing relation, namely, if you have the configuration on the left-hand side in black bar framing, it's equal to Q to the power of N to the configuration on the right. The third relation says that you could delete an unknot at the cost of Q to the n minus Q to the minus n divided by Q minus Q inverse. And in particular, since here our three manifold takes the product structure of our Riemann surface cross the real line, that means you have also a multiplication operation, which is defined by stacking links along this RH direction. So similarly, we could look at the infrared line defects, and they will correspond to friend-oriented links L tilde in this covering three manifold M tilde, which is the separate written curve across the real line. And the corresponding OPE algebra is certain twisted GL1 skin algebra M tilde, defined as a space of formal linear combinations of frame-oriented links in M tilde up to isotopy, also with coefficients in long polynomial in Q, and modulo the following skin relations. And here you could say the set of skin relations is simpler. In particular, you could directly resolve such a crossing here at the cost of factor Q or Q inverse. And similarly, you could directly delete this unknot. And one specialty here is that because we know separate written curve is a branch covering of the Riemann surface, so that also induces certain branch locus, which is one dimensional of this M tilde over M. This branch locus is represented by this orange cross here. The third relation tells you certain sign rules, namely, if you pull the strand of the link across this branch locus, you need to add a minus sign here. And I have said earlier that the infrared skin algebra or the infrared land effects OPE is a quantum torus, and you could indeed prove that it is. And here I gave you a different definition for the infrared skin algebra. And you could prove that this definition of skin algebra is indeed isomorphic to the quantum torus.
Sorry, I thought you were done. I was gonna ask, if you were working in higher rank, is it just you introduce like a bunch of different colors that the links can be and all the different colors can commute past each other at no cost?
So here I'm only considering, as I said, surface defect or fundamental representation. So in particular, in skin relations, not including the junctions where you could have strands associated with different representations where the junction picks up the invariant of the tensor product or the corresponding representations. I'm not considering that skin algebra here.
Okay.
Here I'm only considering this much simpler form.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, no. Right, so, but in any sense, the infrared skin algebra is simpler. And concretely, if you have an infrared charge gamma, this X gamma here, which corresponds to infrared land effects, they will correspond to a certain class or certain loop on C tilde in this class gamma. In particular, the DSC pairing the quantum powers correspond to the intersection pairing in this first homology of C theta with integer coefficient. And this actual factor Q essentially comes from this first skin relation here. Okay, so I have described two skin algebras, which one corresponds to the UV land effects OP, the second one corresponds to the infrared land effects OP. To compute frame protected spin characters or equivalently to construct the UV IR map for land effects, we need a map F from the UV skin algebra to the infrared skin algebra, which concretely sends links L in M to certain combinations of links L tilde in M tilde with the formal coefficients in as long polynomials in Q. And particularly, this map has to respect the land defects of PE both in the UV and IR. So it has to be a homomorphism from the before described GLN Homfli skin algebra of M to the twisted GL1 skin algebra of M tilde. And just as a little remark to explain that in my title, there is this thing called Q non-linearization. The skin algebra could be viewed as quantizational algebra functions on the modular space of like connections. And this map F mapping between the skin algebras could be viewed as quantization of this classical non-linearization map. However, in the following, I will still refer to this map as a UV-IR map. Okay, before I go into the construction, are there any questions? Okay, so to construct this thing, with Zandinitsky, we construct this map completely for n equals 2, almost for n equals 3, with many pieces working for n bigger than 3. So what's our basic strategy? So first come from the physics picture. However, what we did is not a first principle derivation from this physics picture. that will later on describe what we actually did to pin down the rules for this UV IR map. So in the physics picture, computation of the frame protected spin character could be understood as following. If you compactify the time directional circle and introduce a twist by minus q to the 2j3, q to the 2i3, then the reduced theory is effectively a 5d equals 2 un super young males with on m times r2 plane, where you have omega background turned on along this r2 plane. And there is also certain twisting to put it on m. And moreover, the insertion of the surface defect in the 6D theory becomes or corresponds to insertion of fundamental Wilson lines along the link inside M. Furthermore, the theory is put in a background which generically breaks UN to U1 to the N, determined by this covering M tilde over M. So theoretically, what we could do is to compute the partition function of the 5D equals 2 super young males in this above mentioned background, and then try to expand it in terms of partition function of the infrared effective theory with infrared Wilson line insertions. So, however, we did not carry out this construction such sort of like localization paradigm, rather we combine the above physical picture with certain bootstrap methods. So concretely, our construction could be described in terms of two steps. Step one, you enumerate all possible links L tilde in M tilde consisting of certain local pieces. Step two, you assign to each L tilde a certain factor in the form of Laurent polynomial Q. So step one, to enumerate all the possible links L tilde, we assemble local pieces of the following two camps. And both of them are coming from the physics picture of this 5D equals 2 super young males. So the first kind is a naive guess, namely locally away from the branch points of this M tilde over M, UN is broken into U1 to the N. The fundamental representation of UN is decomposed into its N-weight spaces corresponding to the N sheets of this covering M tilde. So that means the fundamental Wilson line in the UN theory should decompose locally into N Wilson lines of the UN to the N theory. At the level of the links, what you're doing is you're taking the strand of this link in M and map it to its N pre-images under this covering map M tilde over M. So this ingredient is the correspond to the semi-classical analysis that in my earlier example in this land effects in pure SU2 theories, and it's what you would expect first when you try to construct this UV IR map. However, it needs corrections, namely it needs corrections for massive W bosons. So the second type of local piece represents trajectories from massive W bosons. W bosons are in the adjoint, so they're labeled by two sheets, I and J, of this M tilde. And the BPS condition determines that W bosons must travel along specific trajectories, which is called the BPS IJ trajectories. Those are certain one-dimensional trajectories on the Riemann surface. So for N equals 2, W boson could travel to or from the branch locus of this M tilde over M pairing, and they could also be exchanged between two different strands of M. So in this figure, I showed on the left, I showed this case where W boson travel to and from branch locus at the level of the links. So if you have a strand of link which intersect with certain BPS IJ trajectories ending on a branch point, when you lift it to the covering three manifold, and you could add sort of this detour term, which goes from say sheet I to sheet J. And on the right-hand side, I showed you this second scenario where W boson exchanges between different strands of L. Namely, if you have two strands of L intersecting with the same BPS IJ trajectories, we'll lift them to the three manifold M tilde, you could have certain exchanges of those W bosons running between the two strands. So this is a situation for N equals 2. For N bigger than 2, the W bosons could travel along really complicated web trajectories. And most of the difficulties in the construction is to pin down all those possible web trajectories and the associated factors. However, you could enumerate all the possibilities and that completes your step one. Namely, you get all those lifted links L tilde in M tilde consisting of those local pieces of these two types that I talked about. And step two, now you associate a weight factor to each lifted links L tilde. And this also consists of various local contributions. And it would be great to derive these factors from the for example, in this 5D equals 2 super YAML setup, however, we did not do so. We determined this by bootstrap technology, namely, recall that the UV error map F has to be a homomorphism from the UV skin algebra to the infrared skin algebra. And this turns out to be strong enough to fix all the possible factors. And I will not tell you the details of the possible factors, except for the factors associated to a web trajectory for W boson. For example, I show here a web trajectory with four legs. And in general, such web trajectories contribute a weight factor of Q minus Q inverse to certain integer power. And in this case, this integer power will be 3. And in particular, since it's proportional to such a power, it will vanish as Q goes to 1. So namely, in the classical construction of the UV error map or the computing the Q goes to 1 limit of the frame protected spin character, such contribution was not included because their contribution vanishes. And in practice, the way we get this such factor is by certain reductive way using isotopy invariance constraints. So namely, you could imagine, so here I have, here I have a strand, which the blue strand is like strand of the links up. So I could sort of move it close to the center, like close to the vertex of this three-pronged thing. And then if I do that, I would kill the appearance of this four-legged web. Instead, I will get a three-legged web and certain exchanges. However, the final result should not depend on this isotopy move, namely the results you get before this isotopy move and after the isotopy move should match. So that will give you certain relations between the web factor associated to this four-legged web to, for example, the web factor associated with webs with less legs. So this will give you induction such that you could possibly to pin down the factors associated to those webs. Okay. So are there any questions about these two steps of the construction?
So it seems that this bootstrap argument you're doing, it's somehow appealing, it's very scheme theoretic. It's appealing to kind of local arguments on the curve. But somehow there's something non-local about the construction, right? Like if I have two strings exchanging a W boson, they could be very far away. I'm sort of confused about how local or not this thing is.
So you're absolutely right. So this W boson, this web could be, for example, those two strands could be really, really far away. So maybe I should say that first of all, to make sure this construction is consistent, we need to prove the isotopy invariance. Namely, so here I'm using an example where we're using this isotopy invariance to deduce the web factors. And on the other hand, we have to be able to prove ideally that our construction is really isotopy invariant. And we were able to do that for n equals 2. Namely, you could sort of like decompose all those isotopy moves to sort of in a local way. However, for n bigger than 2, for example, in this case, we're not really able to do that. So, for example, in n equals 3, we're not really able to prove isotopy invariance in that sense. So here I'm only using, abusing this isotopy invariance to pin down the web factors. But to actually prove isotopy invariance, as you said, it has to be able to decompose to distinguish local moves, and it could be difficult for n bigger than 2. Maybe that's not what you're...
I mean, is the way that the web is constructed somehow local?
Yes. So the way to build these links out here, you're assembling local pieces where it's literally either those direct lift piece or or you could have those exchanges or the detour pieces. So the way you're constructing the length L tilde is you're building up L tilde in terms of those local pieces. However, I just want to say that proving isotope invariance is difficult because of this possible non-local in the sense that this exchange, or sorry, this web could happens for lengths very far away. So one need to really, so I don't have a good answer for that for n bigger than 12, how to prove it, prove the isotope invariance in that case. And here at this level, we're only trying to pin down the factors using this kind of isotope invariance move. And we could check the answers that we do get expected, for example, expected link invariance in R3. So that's one way to checking that this answer is what we would expect. And also at least locally, this respects the fact that the UVLR map is a homomorphism from the UV scan algebra to the infrared scan.
I have more questions, but I'll ask afterwards. So.
So let me make an intermediate summary. We constructed this UVLR map computing protective spin characters for new kind of land effects in class S series, which mathematically speaking is a map from the UV scan algebra to the infrared scan algebra. Concretely, it maps links L to combinations of links L tilde in this way. And let me make a couple remarks. So when M is equal to R3, this map actually computes a familiar link invariant, namely, it's related to the unnormalized Homfli polynomial in this special one parameter limit where you set A goes to Q to the N and Z goes to Q minus Q inverse. And you have a prefactor which is related to the self-linking number L. And in particular, this Homfli polynomial here for N equals 2 is a Jones polynomial. And in a sense, for N equals 2, our construction reproduces the vertex model for Jones polynomials, which also sometimes called the state sum model. And this was also interpreted in the physics language by Witten and Galtovita. And the second remark, in certain cases, this UVLR map that we constructed has also been obtained using a different method. For example, for M as in the form of Riemann surface across the real line and N equals 2, Bonahan and Wang constructed a so-called quantum trace map. That map is a map from the SL2 Kaufman bracket scan algebra to the Abelian scan algebra. And we could, so here, our construction is about the GL2 scan algebra. However, we could decouple this GL1 factor in a certain sense. And then we would also get a map from the SL2 scan algebra to the Abelian scan algebra. And in a sense, our map should be equivalent to Bonahan Wang's construction. However, we use different data. It would be great to actually have a proof or matching of between these two constructions. And also from the more physics point of view, for M equal to C cross R and that special loci in the Coulomb branch, where the BPS edge trajectories are almost collinear, Maxine Gabella computed the protected spin character using spectral networks with additional R matrix factors that comes from the quantum group construction. So in a sort of like a weak translation to where does this R matrix factor correspond to in our construction? So in Gabella's construction, he isotoped the links to certain specific position relative to the Riemann surface. And then after you do that, you will see that the R matrix factors, roughly speaking, correspond to the exchange W boson trajectories in our construction. Before I go to more examples of this construction, let me also say more about a behavior that I have been not talked about, namely wall crossing behavior. So this UVLR map depends on the covering M tilde over M and or a Coulomb branch parameter. As we move on the Coulomb branch, F could change discontinuously. This is called the frame wall crossing. And the frame wall crossing behavior is controlled by the BPS spectrum of the Buck 4D series. For example, across the wall corresponding to a BPS hypermultiplet with charge gamma, this FL should jump by conjugation by this quantity EQ of X gamma, where EQ is a quantum die logarithm. And our construction a priori, you do not know that it actually reproduces to you the correct wall crossing behavior. However, for N equals 2, we're able to prove that our map F has the expected wall crossing behavior. Okay, so I will talk about some concrete examples for our construction. The first example is in M equals R3 and N equals 2. Here, the current three manifold M tilde is just a disjoint union of two copies of R3. There's only one kind of BPS trajectories. We call it BPS 1-2 trajectory. They're straight lines in one spatial direction, say X1 direction. And we take the length to be the simplest possible thing, an unknot. And we place this unknot onto this R3 geometry by indicated by these two projections. So from the 1-2 projection, it looks like this, and from the 2-3 projection, it looks like this. In particular, this shaded gray lines correspond to the BPS 1-2 trajectories, and this black line corresponds to the place where a W boson exchange could happen. And this place corresponds to this point in this crossing. So in total, there will be three lifts of L. The first two are again just direct lifts of L, which is not surprising, but the third one could include a W boson exchange between these two strands. Or if I draw it in the 1-2 projection, if you look at it in the 2-3 projection, this third term will correspond to the situation where the sheet labeling associated with these two strands changed after they pass this crossing. So this is a similar thing that's also happened in the vertex model. So anyway, you could sum up their contributions and you do get the Jones point on your final unknot. We could also look at a more interesting example, also more complicated, namely take M equal to R3 and M tilde is three disjoint unions of R3. Now there are three different kinds of BPS trajectories. They're still straight lines. However, they're straight lines along three different directions. And we could take L to be a trivial and then test whether we could get the correct knot polynomial in this case. And so here, this calculation has to be done in a computer where here, these blue lines here, this is drawn again in certain projection. The blue lines here represents a polygon approximation for this trivial knot. And all the different colors correspond to the possible places where a W boson web could appear. So you see those black things, which is correspond to the exchanges. However, you also see the more complicated, for example, three-legged web thing red, or this four-legged web thing in purple. Nevertheless, you could sum up all the possible lifts consisting of the possible W boson exchanges or direct lifts. And there are in total 51 of them, and you do get the correct knot polynomial. As my next example, I'll talk about the protected spin character computation in a class S theory, which is SU2 with NF equal to 4. So we take N equals 2 and M equal to Riemann surface cross R, where the Riemann surface here is a 4-puncture sphere. And we go to a point in the module space where a separate Witten curve is given by the following. In particular, the BPSIJ trajectories are depicted here, which roughly looks like here. This and the blue dots here are the poles for this phi 2. And then the orange crosses here again represent branch locus. And we consider possible land effects in this 4D theory. And first we look at two half BPS land effects represented by this loop here and this loop here. So the L1 here corresponds to a fundamental Wilson line in certain duality frame. If you do this UVR map, namely write up this FLL1, it's given by an expansion in seven different X gammas with all coefficients one. So namely you have seven ground states in seven different charge sectors and they all have trivial spin. In particular, this reproduces the classical example, which also studied in here. And now if you look at L2, it's going to have BPS states with non-trivial spin, which is, if you write down FL2, it's going to be a really complicated expression, but in particular, you will see something like this. This tells you in charge sector gamma, you'll have the BPS states, which in the representation, which is a direct sum of the one-dimensional representation and the three-dimensional representation of the SU2 rotation group. And in particular, these four terms graphically correspond to these four possible lifts of the link L2. And in particular, these actual factors of Q sort of come from these intersections of these detour terms here. You could also consider an example of a quarter BPS land effect. This looks almost like L2, except there's a crossing here. So it's quarter BPS instead of half BPS. And if you write out the infrared expansion, it's an expansion in terms of X gamma with 31 different charge sectors. Okay, so I'm done with this examples for this construction. Are there any questions at this point? Okay, so now let me say a few words about what happens if we consider a general three manifold. So this goes into the context of class R series. Namely, you could consider reducing the 6D series with surface defect insertion on the three manifold M, and that will give you a 3D equals 2 series with land defect insertion. And in that case, similar to class S, one could also make a perturbation labeled by certain covering of the three manifold M, under which the bulk theory will flow to a Lagrangian theory in the infrared. And we could still ask the question, how does the UV land effect decompose in terms of infrared land effects? And here, mathematically speaking, the UV IR map should go from the GLN scheme module of M to the twisted GL1 scheme module of M tilde. Because M no longer has this product structure, so that you lost your algebra structure and you will only be talking about scheme modules. So although I have described our construction in a way which looks like it depends on the three manifold M being this Riemann surface across a real line, we could formulate it in a covariant way, which where the dependence is not there anymore. And for N equals 2, we already did that in our paper. And for N bigger than 2, it seems harder, but also possible. Therefore, we expect most of our construction to apply to more general three manifolds M that admit ideal triangulations by tetrahedrons. However, we need certain new ingredients. In particular, this M tilde will have a new kind of singularity, one in each tetrahedron of the triangulation. And this kind of singularity has been described by different people from different contexts. And correspondingly, in this Abelian scheme module of M tilde, we need to sort of introduce certain actual scheme relations. So here, I'm sorry, this is a hand-drawn picture. Here, this purple loop represents this new kind of singularities. And the scheme relation says that, and the blue line is certain link. And scheme relation says that if you have a link which links this, if you have a strand which links this purple singularity, it could be written in terms of sub of the two other terms which depicted here. And roughly speaking, in how do you construct such a UVIR map in this case, I could take example of a single tetrahedron. And you could think of this tetrahedron as growing from a parallelogram times an interval where the parallelogram is triangulated. However, at the start and the end of the interval, the triangulation is flipped. So, and then you glue together the four edges of the parallelogram. And then you get a tetrahedron. However, inside in the interior of the tetrahedron, you will have certain critical point where this new kind of singularities appear. And physically speaking, that's roughly a 4D BPS states trapped in the 3D domain wall theory. And when you do this UVIR map, what you could do is locally you work around very close to the two ends of this parallelogram cross interval picture. And in each neighborhood, it looks like a parallelogram cross interval where we could apply our techniques. And then you glue them together in the interior and taking care of this actual scheme relations. So it seems to be promising to make this construction work in that case. However, there's still much work, ongoing work in that direction. Are there any questions regarding the general three manifold case? Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna ask, just to clarify, when you say that there's a new singularity, the singularity is this purple loop, right?
Yes.
Like it's mention one singularity.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. It's going to be different from this Friednetsky construction where it's co-dimension three. They literally shrink the proper loop to zero size, but here I'm not doing that. Okay, so let me get to the last part of my talk. In the construction of the UVIR map I talked about to compute the frame protected spin character, we have effectively turned on half omega background around along a spatial R2 plane. And on the other hand, there is also an independent line, which is similar to what we're doing. Namely, there has been recent developments in exact WKB analysis and non-perturbative approaches to the quantization of separability curves in 40 plus 2 series. And in that context, one also turns on half omega background. So it's tempting to ask whether one could somehow combine the above two stories by turning on the full omega background. So let me give you a completely incomplete review of the exact WKB and 40 equals 2 gauge theories. So as listed here, and possible it's impossible to list every reference here, but recently there can be many interesting discoveries on relations between quantum mechanical systems and supersymmetric gauge theories, where the centerpiece here is the Schrödinger equation and its higher order analogs. The Schrödinger equation is written here. And people from different communities are interested in this equation from different point of view. For example, you could study the monodromy data of this equation around certain singularities on the Riemann surface by using exact WKB methods. And this has been an old subject, which goes back to various people's work. And recently, it has been formulated geometrically using abelianization by the following people, and more. And secondly, being a Schrodinger equation, people studying quantum mechanics are also interested in it. So you could study spectral problems more concretely, given certain potential, you could try to write down the exact quantization condition for spectral problems. And the third community is people studying the 40 equals 2 gauge theories. This equation could be viewed as quantization of separate curve in 40 equals 2 series. And roughly speaking, if you think of separate curve as embedded into the cotangent bundle of the Riemann surface C, and then you write its base coordinate and the fiber coordinates, and the separate curve is going to be a curve in terms of those coordinates. And if you take these base and fiber coordinates as position and momentum coordinates, and then after canonical quantization, in position representation, you will get certain differential equation, which for the SU2 case will be certain Schrodinger equations. And since the separate curve correspond to the twisted Carrier-Ring relations for half BPS surface defects in 40 equals 2 gauge theories, and this quantization could also be understood as a deformation of the Carrier-Ring for surface defect when it's placed along half omega background, which where the omega background is placed along the plane where the surface defect is inserted. And so the center object in this whole study of the Schrodinger equation is a so-called Wahrer symbol. In abelianization language, this Wahrer symbol is a holonomial flight abelian connections along certain cycle gamma on the separate curve. Because of the different approaches to study the Schrodinger equation, it could be obtained via different methods. For example, it could be obtained by Borel summation of the exponentiated WKB periods, or it could be obtained as ratios of Wronskians of certain distinguished local solutions to the Schrodinger equation. It could be certain asymptotically decaying solution as z goes to a singularity, or as eigenvectors of the monodromy around a loop. And it could also be computed by instanton calculus in 40 equals 2 gauge theories. And lastly, perhaps very interestingly, is it could be also computed by certain TBA-like integral equations, which looks like the following. So I will explain certain terminologies here. Here, z gamma is a central charge of the classical period. And omega mu, which is an integer, counts the back for dBPS states with charge mu. Namely, mu is certain cycle on the Riemann surface. And this integral here is along certain half array in the H-bar plane. and notice that there's this integram takes this log form. So as far as I know, I do not know why the word symbols should obey such TBA equation. However, one compelling evidence is that the solution to this TBA equation also solves the Riemann-Hilbert problem formulated by Galton-Moronetsky. Namely, this chi gamma H bar, its analytical properties is described by, for example, the asymptotic behavior as it bar goes to zero, the jumping behavior as you cross certain rays in H bar plane. And this TBA equation correctly reproduces this analytical properties of this chi gamma H bar. In particular, this integrand here, this log of 1 plus chi mu H bar prime, encodes the jumping behavior across a BPS key wall corresponding to a 40 BPS particle with charge mu. So now we could ask the question, is there a Q-deformed version of this integral equation, perhaps by turning on the other half omega deformation? And recall that this Schrödinger equation could also be understood as a differential equation satisfied by a surface defect partition function on half omega background or in the Nekrasov-Shvatashvili limit. And there is another differential equation if you keep the full omega background. And one could ask the question whether that could possibly lead you to certain Q-deformed version of this integral equation. And unfortunately, I do not know how to approach this from the point of view of omega deformation. But I could take, we could take a different approach here. Namely, this previous integral equation that shown on the last slide could be viewed as so-called conformal limit of another integral equation obeyed by a similar object on chi gamma, which is labeled by C star parameter zeta. And one could possibly try to introduce Q deformation there. Physically speaking, such quantity chi gamma on zeta could arise in this way. You reduce class S series on the circle, and then chi gamma zeta correspond to the web of infrared land effects, which is what we have been talking about in the infrared skin algebra, x gamma zeta wrapped around the circle. So far I have suppressed this parameter zeta dependence when I talk about land effects, but you could think of it as parameterizing the preserved supercharges by this land effect. So anyway, so chi gamma could be realized as a web of certain of these infrared land effects wrapped around circle. And in particular, the integrals in the TBA equation represents corrections to the semi-classical web computed by reducing this Abelian effective theory on circle. So now we just do what we did before. We could introduce Q deformation by turning a half omega background around along certain spatial R2 plane. And then the infrared land effects OPE will become, as we said before, the following quantum torus. So this tells you that this integral equation or the Q version of the integral equation we want should be an operator equation satisfied by these X gammas. And it has to also respect the quantum torus. And in particular, the integrand in the integral should be able to reproduce the wall crossing behavior by conjugation of quantum dialogue. So if Q is generic, this seems a little, I shouldn't say a little, it seems rather difficult. However, simplifications seem to happen if Q is a root of unity. So in this case, we could consider the following setup. You consider the space of ground states of the 4D infrared theory on Melvin space, which is just our two bundle over a circle where as you go around the circle, you introduce a Q rotation. And this space being as they are going to be acted on by the infrared land effects, they will form a representation of the quantum torus. And then while pulling back all the UV IR map F, it will also form the representation of the UV skin algebra. And the next thing about Q being a root of unity is that in that case, this is a finite dimensional representation labeled by flat complex connections on C. And this labeling, you could think of it as the background data for this 4D theory on this geometry. And mathematician Bonahan Wang has constructed certain representations in their construction of this quantum trace map that I mentioned earlier. And with Greg and Andy, we're trying to realizing these representations in the physical way, roughly speaking, as what I described here. So the next thing about Q being a root of unity is in this case, Since the Hilbert space is going to be finite dimensional, we could explicitly write down this infrared line operators in terms of certain matrix representation. And then at each matrix entry, then you could try to ask or try to formulate the integral equations for those matrix entries. And that's going to be a little bit closer to the integral equations that's being studied by many people. And however, there's still, this is still a work in progress. We're still trying to formulate this kind of problem in concrete examples. Okay, so let me summarize. We have constructed a linking variant via a UVIR map. It reduces to well-known linking variant when M is equal to R3. And this UVIR map counts PPS ground states with spin for line defects in class S series. And it also has possible connections to exact WKB analysis in 14 equals 2 series. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you and stay healthy.
Questions for Faye? Great to talk.
Thanks. I've got a question.
Yeah.
So this skein algebra and the skein module can be built algebraically once you know the category of representations of the quantum group.
Yes.
So if you want to do the abelianized version that you constructed, what replaces the quantum group? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't want to say it's going to be certain abelianized version, but I don't know what exactly is the object there.
And it looks like GL entron Simons becomes Beauty entron Simons with the additional of some particles.
Yes, yes. So indeed, you could think of it in the language of unionization of Chen Simons series. But the abelian Chen Simons series will have some correction in the action corresponding to these extra terms that you talked about.
Yes. Perhaps the related question is if you have thought about how to relate this perspective with David Jordan's approach to the skein algebra.
I see. So
skein module.
I see. So
he defines these parabolic induction interfaces between the non-abelian and abelian theories, which may be relevant.
I see. So there is a skein module realized as a Hilbert space of certain twisted equals 4 super young males on this 3 manifold M. I'm not sure how to say it in that language.
I mean, it might be nice to see if the local manipulations that you have can be interpreted there.
Yes.
No, you're taking some whistle-lining and the Lavillian theory and try to push it across this parabolic induction interface.
I see, yes.
And things must be happening to it.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, I don't know. And,
yes, I haven't thought about it that long for a while. In a sense, this construction I've talked about here is sort of like experimental, which you know the constraints and then you try to cook up this map and it actually fixes this UVIR map to be as such. But it would be great to interpret it as a more clear sense in this different context to study the scheme of.
Other questions? I was going to ask roughly the same thing that Kevin and David asked. So.
Okay.
So I moved away from the monitor for a minute, and I think I missed this statement. So maybe you can just remind me. So what was the conclusion on the Q deformation of the DBA equation?
Maybe I should say we want to formulate this Q-TBA equation. However, it seems to be difficult for Q, generic Q. But if Q is a root of unity, it seems like you could possibly, write certain, just by experimenting and things, and write certain TBA equations for matrix entries.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Q is a root of unity, you have finite dimensional representations. But in general, there's no conclusion, and it's still much work in progress.
This funny phenomenon that if you look at the quantized algebra of functions at root of unity, it contains a copy of the classical one.
Yes, exactly. So you have this really huge center. Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And then it builds some kind of a bundle on the original manifold.
Yes. This representation, you could realize this physically in the following way. So take the abelian theory and then put it on the Melvin space. And then for each point on the Hilbert space, where the base coordinate is going to tell you the wave at the infinity, and then the fiber coordinates will correspond to, as in the Euro language or compactifying class S around a circle, correspond to holonomials of Wilson Duff lines along this circle. And here, when Q is the root of unity, as you said, so there's an enlarged center. Physically, those correspond to line operators not wrapping this S1 factor just once, but n times.
Nice.
So, and since in that way, they're not restricted to sit on this fixed axis, that's why you can move them around so they become a center. But then you use its fiber coordinate to fix the holonomy of the Wilson-Duff line along this bigger circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you do that for this smaller circle, which is you just wrap it around this S1 once, their web is going to correspond to sort of like nth root of the bigger circle web.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you see these degenerate ground states. And then if you just look at the U1 theory, just U1, and then in that sense, your Wilson Duff line are just forming this Zn Heisenberg algebra, but it's a certain sort of deformed version because the nth power is fixed in this.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the n ground states are correspond to that the Wilson line will act on the n ground states as a clock operator, where the Duff line will be the shift operator.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and then as you vary the point on the Hilbert space, you're going to get a certain vector bundle, and we think it should be a certain hyperholomorphic vector bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Because this Hilbert space, in the description of the Hilbert space, I already suppressed, for example, the preserved supercharges of the line operator. And the Hilbert space is not affected by that. So they will actually have a family of skin algebras acting on this Hilbert space. And so there should be certain nice structure there. The nice structure happens when Q is a unity, but I don't know, for generic Q, it doesn't seem to. Yeah.
Any further questions? If not, we should thank Faith for an excellent talk.
Thank you.
And next week, I believe Sasha will have a group meeting. I believe Sasha will present something.
I think what he had said was he was going to try to present like actual open problems for people to work on.
Well, I mean, there will be open problems, but I mean, I'll have to speak about something else before actually getting to open problems. So, okay. I'll send an announcement. Theo, I'll send you some description today. Probably.
Okay, great. Then we'll send that out. Thank you all for coming, and see you all next week.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Faye, again, for the great talk.